This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Josh Rogan of the Washington Post Global Opinions and the Winter Olympics in Beijing within weeks. The question is the Uyghurs. The question is a young tennis player named Peng. The question is, does the Biden administration send its diplomats, official representations, given the Uyghurs and the tennis player named Peng? Josh, a very good evening to you. You have written discernibly, carefully about China all these years and its excesses. It appears now that there are many voices coming forward, not particular one area or another, who are objecting to China again enjoying world approval in an Olympics game. I recall, Josh, when we spoke in 2008 about the Summer Olympics, and there was a nominal protest, especially because of Tibet, but nothing this organized. Have we learned, Josh? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, it's been a couple of weeks since I broke the news that the Biden administration was planning a diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Winter Olympics. And what we saw just in the last couple of days was the Chinese government respond. They actually said they are disinviting U.S. officials and politicians in a what they consider to be a preemptive strike against our forthcoming diplomatic boycott. So it seems as if that both sides will claim victory in this tit for tat. But in the end, when the Winter Olympics commence in February, it's only 3 months away, there will be no U.S. diplomats there. And that's a statement of the Biden administration's support for human rights in China, but it doesn't actually do much in terms of affecting the situation on the ground. That's why a bunch of activists and students and college kids and others, religious groups, are determined to go much further. And they simply are not depending on the Biden administration to solve the problem of the Uyghur genocide. And, you know, they're going to make sure that it's not just the diplomats who are speaking, and that, you know, any corporate sponsor, anyone who decides to endorse what they're calling the genocide games will have to put up with some objection from those groups and those people who support those groups who are suffering under the oppressive policies of the Chinese Communist Party. That's not going to stop the games. It's not going to stop the Chinese government from crowing about the games and trying to use it to legitimize their rule and turn the world's attention away from their atrocities, as they did in 2008. But I think the groups are getting much more organized. And when the games are over and when the cameras have turned away, I think the activism that that this period has spurred will be only just beginning.
You mentioned in your column in the Post, in my youth, there was an organization that emerged from universities and colleges in the 1970s and 1980s to do with South Africa. What was that movement and was it successful?
Right. As I mentioned, the anti-apartheid movement was bolstered by a divestment movement that started in Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts in the summer of 1977. But by 1988, had grown to over 155 colleges and universities. And essentially what they did was the students forced the leaders of these academic institutions to scour their investments and their endowments to get rid of any investments that were related to South Africa as a protest against apartheid and the imprisonment of Nelson Mandela. And using that model, that's what American college students are doing right now in order to protest the Uyghur genocide and Chinese government's other various human rights atrocities. And it's just getting started, but it is picking up steam at Catholic University. They actually passed a resolution that forced the Board of Trustees to do an independent audit with the intention of divesting the university's $170 million endowment from anything related to forced labor, concentration camps, surveillance, and any of the other crimes that the Uyghurs are suffering under right now. There's going to be a movement to expand that to lots of other universities. You know, we don't know if it's going to work or not, but there's a good chance that it could catch on. And if it does, it's going to force a lot of these institutional investors, the people handling the billions of dollars that these universities hold, to rethink whether or not they want to participate in these, investing in these problematic Chinese companies as well. So, it's early stages. Like I said, the Olympics has just sort of raised awareness to the point where students all over the country are thinking about this. But, you know, China is not South Africa. China is the most, the richest and the most populous country in the world. And, there are consequences to speaking up against the Chinese government's atrocities, and these schools are scared, and they should be, because there's punishment coming if they do this. But I don't think the objection to the genocide will cease as long as the genocide is ongoing.
It can take decades. However, Josh, I puzzle because I mentioned the tennis star, and we all know that that's an ongoing, non-transparent story. I puzzle to put that together with the Uyghurs, to put that together with the contrast with 2008. Has something changed? Has there been a change in the wind that it is possible now to have this conversation in public, whereas a decade ago it was marginal?
Right. No, I think the disappearance and then apparently staged reappearance of China's biggest women's tennis star, Peng Shuai, really shocked a lot, millions of people who previously weren't tuned into these issues. In other words, you know, the issue of human rights and the Uyghur genocide has been largely confined to people who are either in those communities or, you know, in politics or in the professional conduct of foreign policy. But, you know, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people watch tennis, and for them to suddenly realize that, you know, what happens to you when you accuse a Communist Party member in China of rape is that you disappear and that your entire presence disappears, no matter how famous you are, no matter how much the world objects. That's a pretty rude awakening for a lot of people who didn't realize that this is how bad the CCP is operating right now. And it ties directly to the Olympics because, of course, the International Olympic Committee helped the Chinese government push its propaganda by staging this creepy video where they allege that Peng Shuai told the head of the IOC that everything's fine, you know, and that she wasn't silenced, which is, sad because clearly she's under duress. So what I think is happening is that, you know, as the Chinese government, you know, gets worse, as their repression gets worse, as their expansion militarily gets worse, as they punish any company from Nike to the NBA to, you know, Coach to Marriott to you name it, to Apple, you know, people, it's becoming very hard for people to ignore the genocide. And once you are aware that a genocide is going on your watch, you have to try very hard to ignore it. And less and less people in this world are able to do so.
You mentioned Students for a Free Tibet. I remember conversations with Tibetans 10, 12 years ago, 2008, the summer of 2008. You mentioned Keep Taiwan Free. That's an ongoing conversation. What everything has in common is that China is a well-known abuser of human beings. Is that right now something new to the world, Josh? I understand we're informed, but is it suddenly now commonplace and understanding? Can we tell? We have about a minute.
Yeah, well, the first thing that's happening is that all of these groups are finally coming together to sort of realize that they're all fighting the same fight. And, you know, the Tibet was patient zero for Chinese abuses, and they perfected the genocide techniques in Xinjiang with the Uyghurs. Now they're reverse importing them back to Tibet, and you're going to see the same atrocities in Hong Kong and Taiwan soon if the world doesn't step in and do something about it. So, you know, the reason that the protests are getting more organized is because the atrocities are getting worse. The genocide is getting worse. The crimes are getting worse. And it's going to take a whole of humanity to stand up for the principles of human dignity and freedom and democracy and justice in the face of this threat, because the Chinese Communist Party is powerful and they are rich, and they're not going to stop unless they're compelled to.
Josh Rogan is the global opinions columnist for the Washington Post, writing about right now the early stages of a protest by students, not government, students in the country about the coming Winter Olympics. This is what did not happen in the 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing during the persecution of Tibet. But perhaps the pandemic has taught many to act collectively. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.